The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of rich men produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grains and my goods." And he will say to my soul, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many, many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. The Gospel of the Lord. It's good to have a husband as a priest. I was walking back, he's telling me, "You're sideways with your stole." He was doing, okay. It's fixed. Right. What an awful situation. I was planning on starting my sermon like that, not taking into account what is in the news, the shootings, 29 people dead. And I was just, without taking that into consideration, I was going to start with that. What an awful situation Jesus encounters. And I think many of us have experienced that. Being in a place where a family is split apart because of inheritance. Probably you've encountered it in your own home, in your own family, maybe in other places. What a sad, heartbreaking situation. To see a family just pulled apart with hatred, with venom against each other. And Jesus encounters such a situation when this man comes to Jesus and said, "Hey, Jesus, get in the middle. Tell my brother to split his inheritance with me." And Jesus doesn't go into the exact, he doesn't get into the issue. He says, "Man, who appointed me as judge or referee, arbitrator, between you and your brother?" King James Version translated a little bit more literally, and probably better. "Who made me a judge or a divider over you?" A divider. Jesus refuses the role of divider. Jesus challenges the brother and all of us to go deeper. To go beyond the merely the judicial thing about who gets the money, he says, go down deeper. I challenge you to look into your heart. Augustine, St. Augustine, had preached on this same gospel and had said, greed wants to divide. just as love desires to gather. The deeper invitation for me is the heart of Jesus' message today. And it's that phrase when he says, take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. As I was meditating, I was thinking, Jesus is giving me three invitations. One, be watchful, mindful, be aware. Take guard. Be on your guard. Take care. Wake up. What is going into your heart? A second thing, he says, be aware of what? Be aware of our greed, my greed. Not only greed for money, Jesus says, be on guard against all kinds of greed. It's interesting, the word greed in the original Greek is meant to hold on for more. We all know that, at least I know. The more, more, more. Receive more, have more, hold more, covet, grasp, hold on to. In today's second reading, Paul touches this, saying, greed is another form of idolatry. Thirdly, I believe Jesus says, one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Jesus later on in this same gospel will say, life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Jesus, I think, invites us to become aware on how we define in practice, not in theory, what is the meaning of our lives. Jesus' words begs the question, if life does not consist in the abundance of possessions, what does? To drive his point further, Jesus illustrates his story, his teaching with a story, a parable. And parables are usually used to challenge us. They're supposed to make us uncomfortable. And this is Jesus' story was about the foolish rich man. There's a man who's already rich. He has plenty. He's happy. And then he gets a bonus. He has a bountiful crop, a lot of things. And what does he think? Oh, shoot, I don't have enough barn to put it in. What do? I'll just tear it down and make a bigger barn so that everything fits in there. A man who has enough, who is already rich, he wonders, what can I do to keep hoarding? I need more. More. Having built new barns to store his newfound wealth, he dies that very night. And his wealth now goes to those who did not work for it. Or as we heard in the first reading of today, about Ecclesiastes, sometime one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. When enough is enough. And before we're too harsh with and dismissive of the foolish rich man, we might try to see ourselves in that rich man. Can't we see ourselves in him? And I believe this man, even though he was rich, he was afraid. Deeply scared. Deeply afraid. That even with all that he had, it was not enough. He still needed to find security and build more and more and more so that anything could be stamped out. Anything, any contingency, I would be safe and secure. And that's why I need more and more. And there's no end to it. There is no end. And Jesus, when he was addressing this man, he says, let's go deeper. What is in your heart? What is in my heart? And I discover those same tendencies to grasp and to hold and to want more. I see it in myself. He was a bit better than I am. Jesus concludes the parable by saying, so it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. And what does rich toward God mean? St. Augustine said it beautifully. This man did not realize that the bellies of the poor were much safer storerooms than his barns. He did not realize that the bellies of the poor were much safer storerooms than his barns. You know what? There's terrible consequences when we are not aware of the fear, the anxiety that grabs our hearts. And when we try to find, assuage our fear, to calm our desire for security, when we're not aware of it, we will start to grasp and to hold on and to become greedy. And that greediness can become violent. When companies where CEOs earn over $20 million a year, while their average employee makes under $20,000 a year, wages that are not even enough to live on, forcing people to choose between paying for groceries or paying for medicine, that creates anxiety and hurt and anger. Fear can be just like when we don't want to acknowledge the impact we're causing in our climate. And we would rather say, I don't want to look at it. I don't want to see it. That is fear. I don't want to change my comfortability. I don't want to change my habits. It's too uncomfortable. I did it the other day. We were at the immigrants meeting over there. I left my water bottle here. Instead of walking to the car, I bought a new water bottle. And when I'm drinking my water, I'm saying, Berto, there you go. Simply because not wanting to just walk a little bit more and get my water bottle from the car, I bought a plastic water bottle. That's a little thing. Lori's opening her mouth. I'm making a confession. You have to be charitable. You're a harsh priest. But it's true. Simply because I didn't want to be inconvenienced. And we replicate this over and over. And today, what happened yesterday and today in El Paso touches the same thing. Fear. Fear so felt profoundly that can become deadly. It seems, it's not sure, but it seems this man who shot 20 people in El Paso before his terrorist attack wrote a manifesto, and in it he said, he explained that the reason he did what he did was as a response to the Hispanic invasion of Texas, whom he blames for rotting America from the inside out. Racial fears are being stoked to feel that non-white folk are taking away our jobs, our money, our welfare, our security, our country, and we replicate this over and over for different things. We blame women, we blame gays, we blame transgender people, and fear overcomes our hearts. And that just leads to death, and just leads to a cycle of violence that has no end. This is what fuels white nationalism, white supremacy, fear of losing centuries of privilege can prove genocidal. The new attack in Ohio, 9 people killed, less than 24 hours. I haven't heard yet if there's any motivation, but we need to move beyond the thoughts and prayers. We need to go to the roots of this, and I would say, sinful culture we live. To all this fear, Jesus is saying, be aware. It's easy to make big pronouncements, and we should do this, and we should do that, like the man who wanted simply divide up the inheritance. And Jesus says, wait, before we get there, go into your heart. Go to the root of it all. This is what Jesus, I think, is inviting me, at least, inviting me to look into my own fears, my own anxiety, to let go. Jesus' main exhortation is to be aware of that, of those fears and anxieties. Jesus says, and sadly it was not in the gospel today, but I'll fill it out. Jesus said, after the verse we ended on 21, he says, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Can any of you worry, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you're not able to do small thing as that, why do you worry about the rest. Do not keep striving for what you are to eat, what you are to drink. Do not keep worrying. The author of the Hebrew passage of today, Ecclesiastes, invites us, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And I know we can chuckle about it, but I think he's trying to put us in perspective. There's another translation I like better. It says, merest breath. All is mere breath. This is an invitation to relativize, to examine our fears and let them go as we let go of our breath. Jesus' solution to all this is to go and learn from nature. Sadly, it's not in today's gospel, but I'll tell you about it. They just chopped it up. I think they thought it was too long. Jesus says, what to do? Go unto nature. He says, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses nor barns, and yet God feeds them. Oh, how much more value are you than the birds. Then he says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will be clothed by you, you of little faith? So it seems like the solution is for all of us to become hippies and go live in a yurt. Right? And I think that would not be a bad thing. I think there is something there. And Jesus is inviting us. I think Francis, that was the challenge. And I think we need Francis of Assisi and hippies to challenge us and say, you can live with less. Is it all that necessary to hold on to so many things? The last verse of this whole chapter that sadly we didn't read, but it says at the end of it all, verse 31st, strive for the kingdom of God, and these things will be given to you as well. That's why I chose the sequence hymn. Seek the kingdom of God first. It is an invitation to examine, what are my priorities in life? What is really important? What are the things that I value the most? Luke ends saying, don't be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights in giving you the kingdom. Sell your possessions. Give to those in need. Make for yourselves wallets that don't wear out, a treasure in heaven that never runs out. No thief comes near there, and no moth destroys. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Where is my treasure? What do I value? What do I think important? And when we identify that, that's the key. Where my treasure is, there my heart will be too. I invite you now to open your Books of Common Prayer to page 259, and I invite you to pray together a prayer for the stewardship of creation. Page 259. And let us pray for this wisdom to be really aware, awakened, mindful. What is that holds my heart? What is the treasure I value the most? What is that which I try to assuage my fears and my anxieties? Let us pray. O merciful Creator, your hand is open wide to satisfy the needs of every living creature. Make us always thankful for your loving providence, and grant that we, remembering the account that we must one day give, may be faithful stewards of your good gifts through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen.